Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Emma.
I will fight Chris Emma. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Covering the Bears quite a bit, as he always does, and we're always happy to have him aboard. Chris Emma.
Yeah, we got you, Chris. Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I did.
Lead Bears writer for 670thescore.com.
At the same point in time, they've got major depth concerns, so, I mean, I feel like I got the crowd noise here with these cicadas going. I got tuned out here outside of Hallis Hall.
Chris Emma with Spiegel and Holmes.
I like it.
On 670 The Score.
We love Chris Emma. We're not going to fight him. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. All right, Emma, what's the news that we need to know from Hallis Hall today?
Boys back to work here on a Thursday in Hallis Hall. They are out on the practice field as we speak on 1 and 2. We hear from the coordinators today, and this is a time in which they're trying to stack victories. We saw an impressive performance Sunday at Soldier Field. But these guys have kind of set a precedent about not looking back too far and really focusing on what's next. And that's the case with Caleb Williams. And we understand yesterday, after being named NFC Offensive Player of the Week, a stellar performance on Sunday, that he was businesslike and focused on Sunday in Las Vegas. So let's get right to it. Bears offensive coordinator Declan Doyle likes what he sees of his quarterback, but he's also tempering kind of the mood. Here's Declan Doyle.
I think he's growing every week. But that expectation doesn't really stop. You know what I mean? He's getting coached just as hard this week as he was last week when, the outside noise maybe have been a little bit louder in a negative way. But the standard is the same. The process is the same. We still, you know, continue to expect him to prepare for this week and, go out and play well on Sunday and have confidence to be able to go out and rip it and have confidence in the plan. You're good.
Obviously, Caleb's stats want him, the offensive player of the week. But for him, he talks about just doing the right thing at the right time more consistently. Are you seeing that from him? Is that part of the growth that you're seeing?
Yeah, I would say so. It's process driven. You know, you go right back. You don't worry about all the other stuff. The result is dictated by the process. You know, or your habits, what you did during the week is carrying you into Sunday. And so that's the biggest thing. That's the point of emphasis. You don't change that. But that process got to continue to get better too. Like we go out there today and we're expecting him to operate on Thursday at a higher level than he operated last week on Thursday.
That's cool. Yeah, man, this is the stuff. Like,
that's the point that we made earlier in the week, that now that you've shown us what you can do, that is now the expectation.
Show us again, and it ties into the conversation we just had with Dave Wanstead, where Chris, he said that you can coach guys a lot harder after a win sometimes because you can point out stuff and they still feel good even when you're pointing out stuff they know they did wrong. Good stuff.
Yeah, and I took it back with that first question for Declan Doyle to the beginning of training camp when Caleb Williams was really struggling, and we'd come back from practice to the media room here and be like, man, that was rough. And the coaches would talk about this as a process, and the growth is going to come. And what we believe privately through these conversations that we've had is that the growth is going to be revealed early on this season, that it was going to be rocky at start. This offense was going to be a work in progress because they were in that race. But ultimately, at some point, it was going to click, and Caleb Williams would embrace the coaching and the challenges put before him and emerge from this a young, promising quarterback. And, you know, obviously that first game was rocky. He was missing throws. His timing and rhythm are off. That second game, obviously it was an ugly one for the Bears, but you saw progress from Caleb Williams. And then that third game, last Sunday at Soldier Field, it clicked. He looked so much more more comfortable. He had a matchup that was favorable, of course, against the Cowboys and against Matt Eberflus's struggling defense there. But that's what you want to see, is a quarterback taking advantage. And this is the continued buildup. He had a steep learning curve that he's finally ascended over. And then you keep coaching him up. You keep building him from that point. Ben Johnson, Declan Doyle, Press Taylor, JT Barrett, all those Saudi boards and coaches in those rooms are challenging Caleb Williams now to be better. And what you heard from Caleb yesterday was a reflection of that.
We have a theory about Tyrique Stevenson, and you've covered him since he got here. The theory is that he's a player that has a lot of talent and might need to continuously be challenged by his teammates and by his coaches. What do you think of that theory?
I completely agree with that. I take it back to when the Bears drafted Tyrique Stevenson a couple years ago, second round. And Ryan Poles talked about the moment he was sold on this kid was when Tyrique came before him and talked about his mistakes of transferring out of Georgia and the mentality he had at that program before he shifted to Miami and started to prove himself. And Ryan Poles believed that matched what he saw on tape, which is a kid who was got all the talent of the world and all the reasons to be successful and just didn't quite put it all together for the mentality side of it. He's being coached now, and I completely agree with that point. Al Harris is the guy in his ear now. This is a guy who played a long time in this league at a high level and only recently got out of the league. This is a younger coach who's able to get through to a guy like Tyrique Stevenson. I asked Dennis Allen about what he's seen in Tyrique Stevenson and kind of that growth mindset. Here's Dennis Allen.
I think each and every week he comes in and goes to work and tries to improve. And that's what we got to see. And we've said this from day one. It's really about consistency with him. And so that's kind of what our challenge is each and every day to him, to be, you know, a consistent worker, consistent physically, mentally, because he's got the talent to be able to do it. It's really about consistency, and I saw improvement in that area.
Dennis, what have you seen in his work habits that have left an impression on you?
Well, look, I mean, again, like I said, it's been a little inconsistent. And yet I noticed this past week, and it's carried over into this week, a little more focus in terms of what he's being asked to do. And I think, you know, if he can do that, then I think he'll continue to improve and get better. And so I think that's really the biggest thing for him, because he has the talent. And there were some really good, you know, plays by him. It's just the consistency needs to continue to improve, and he's been working really hard at that.
When you're talking about that inconsistency and then improving, growing, like, what specifically are you seeing that growth in?
Yeah, I think it's really more about the mental part of the game, you know, understanding, you know, what he's being asked to do, understanding how the offense is trying to attack him, understanding where his help is within the defense. Those are all things that, you know, you can't go out and play every play and play every play. Like, you have to be able to, in terms of coverage, you got to be able to chop some limbs off the route tree. You know, if you're trying to play all the limbs of the route tree, it's going to be a struggle. And so I think that's an area that he's continued to strive to improve on. And I think I've seen improvement in those areas.
Hot damn. That is some real stuff about Tyrique and him going out there trying to play every route. No. Know what you're playing. And him saying mentally he's got to get there, and him refusing to give him credit for anything more than just the last week. And we listened to Tyrique on Monday, man. You and I did yesterday. And I want to credit him for a breakthrough of some kind, the way that he was talking about it. It better be.
Don't credit him yet.
Nope.
Let's see if he follows it up. And that's what DA is telling you. It's very rare that a radio host gets to say this. We were 100% right in our assessment of Tyrique Stevenson.
Yeah, that he was inconsistent and not knowing what he was doing and needed to increase the work habits. And he might have had a breakthrough last week, though, Chris, right? I mean, this is a moment. Hopefully Tyrique keeps running with it.
Guys, week two, he allowed 4 completions on 4 targets for 99 yards, a touchdown, and a 158.3 rating. That's a perfect rating. Last week, he had 10 targets, allowed 3 receptions, 15 yards, and a 39.6 rating. That is a turnaround right there. And consider the significance now, because Jalen Johnson's not out there. We know that teams would avoid Jalen Johnson. Now you can target anybody. You can go after Tyrique Stevenson. And I felt like Jared Goff was picking on him for a lot of that game. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who embraced the challenge from this coaching staff, showcased that talent. And as you heard from the coaches, from Dennis Allen there, he embraced the mental side of this and had a strong bounce back performance.
Hey, Chris, Tyreek talked about needing to see different kinds of tape to make sure that he fully grasped a zone concept that he was dealing with. And he mentioned that that the coaches helped him. And who is that, I wonder? I wonder if that was Al Harris. I wonder if that was Dennis. I wonder if it was somebody else or the film guy. I don't know if he's gone into detail on that. I'm just curious if you've heard anything else about that.
That's a good question. I'm hoping to speak with Tyrique Stevenson in the locker room opens in a little bit, and I'm hoping to have that as part of a story later if I am able to talk to him.
Cool.
So, Emma, with all the injuries, does that change the things that the Bears want to do?
You know, you hear on offense a lot about adapting your scheme to what a defense presents. And on defense, you often kind of stick to your identity. But that's different now with the Bears missing this many key players. Obviously, Jalen Johnson, TJ Edwards, Grady Jarrett's been dinged up. Tyler Gordon, such an important part of this defense, has not been out there yet at all. Dennis Allen, we know what kind of defense he wants to run. But last week against the Cowboys, it was different. And they really kind of adapted here what their identity is. They are, this season, they played 36.5% man coverage, which is the fourth most in the NFL. They played zone on 57.7% of reps. That's 29%. They played a little bit more zone last week against the Cowboys than they had the first 2 weeks. That is adapting your defense. We heard Ben Johnson talk about how they kind of let up some of these plays in the run game to defend the pass a little bit more differently. Here's Dennis Allen on his mindset and adapting his defensive identity.
Look, absolutely. It's all about, you know, from a defensive perspective, the game is all about limiting points. That's what it's all about. It's not about yards. It's not about any of that stuff. It's not about rushing, passing, whatever the case may be. It's about limiting points. And each and every game plan, how you go about doing that, you know, is going to be different. And so, you know, we attack each and every week as a new week. You know, when we get the game plan and we start going on the game plan, you know, it's a blank slate when we walk in there the very first day. You know, it's not like we just, hey, this, we take last week's game plan and make a couple of tweaks and here we go. You know, we figure out what do we have to do. What are the things that are pertinent for us to have to do to play good on defense and limit the points? You know, what are those keys to victory? And so we do that each and every week, and then we try to come up with a game plan that hopefully allows us to do that.
Man, it should be simple. It's the way it's supposed to work. We'll see if they're good enough with their adjustments, but to have a coach on each side of the ball, Lawrence, who's capable of thinking about the game plan and going deep into the bag of tricks and doing whatever works is a nice thing.
Yeah, this is him illustrating the difference between playbook and scheme and game planning. That all that stuff that we talk about, well, this is what Dennis Allen likes to do. He has a resume and a profile. But if you can't do all the things that you want to do, you've got to adapt. And each team is going to be a different challenge to what it is personnel-wise that you can do. I appreciate hearing someone who's not as dogmatic about that. We're just going to keep doing what we do. Yeah, that gets coaches beat sometimes when they don't have the personnel to be able to pull it off.
Without a doubt. And I think it changes when you get Kyler Gordon back, having the reliable nickel that you've been counting on. And somebody who, look, this guy got hurt like less than 48 hours before kickoff on the season opener. That threw out a lot of what Dennis Allen wanted to do. Losing Jalen Johnson and having to adapt your coverages, that throws out a ton. Not having TJ Edwards out there, not being able to get a consistent pressure up front. I give Dennis Allen a ton of credit. We get on offensive coaches about wanting to run their scheme. And Ben Johnson, when he came in, said, like, I'm going going to cater this to my players. That's the same on the defensive side, and he's had to adapt that considerably. I think you're going to see more of that man aspect that you wanted to see from Dennis Allen. Well, once you get some of these guys back, you're probably looking after the bye week for Kyler Gordon, for TJ Edwards. I think you're still missing those guys on Sunday in Las Vegas, but I'm intrigued to see how this defense does come together, and I credit the coordinator for doing what he has to do.
Chris Emma's doing a great job consolidating coordinator sound and knowledge here on the Spiegel and Holmes show in middays today. What about special teams, Chris?
Well, look, there have been 12 block kicks so far through 3 weeks. That's a lot. That is abnormal. And you saw a bunch of them in big moments at the end of games last week. Richard Hightower is very well aware of that. And you consider back to the significance of the block kick last year against the Packers at Soldier Field. You've got a kicker in Cairo Santos who sometimes struggles with that trajectory at long kicks. This is important for the Bears to take note of. And Richard Hightower is doing that. Here's HT.
There were 12 blocks, you know, in the last 3 weeks. So that hasn't happened in a long time. We're studying it. Those 12 blocks on field goal, obviously there have been a couple on extra point as well. Still too early to tell if there's a trend or anything. We looked at all of them. They're happening all over the field. So it's not like they're longer kicks or they're shorter kicks. They're happening with a lot of different teams, different divisions, different weather, indoors, outdoors. So there's really no trend on it right now. What I can tell you is that we're watching all of that tape, and our players are watching all of that tape as well. We went through all of those blocks with them as well so they can learn from it and they can see it. And their eyes are open on it. So those are really good teaching moments for us as coaches and for the rest of the football team. So they're well aware, and we study the hell out of the league, and the boys are they're on top of it. We're some eye-opening moments in the meetings this week with that.
Smart. The smart stuff from HT. Nuggets and tidbits?
Yeah, Declan Doyle said the Bears are assessing their crowd noise strategy. We know they played silent count in Detroit. It's going to be about a 50-50 type atmosphere in Las Vegas. The Bears fans are traveling for that. So they're assessing how much silent count, if any, they're going to need to use out there. Keep an eye at right tackle. Darnell Wright is dealing with a wrist injury. Saw Theo Benedict slide right into that role Sunday for Wright. If Wright is unable to go, you're going to get Theo Benedict likely out there as the starter. And the number to know, 235.3. Multiplying that by 17, if you wish, that's 4,000. That means Caleb Williams hits the mark no Bears quarterback has ever done before. He's at 238.3 on average this season, so he's above that watermark. If everything plays out, you might get some Bears history.
Emma, we appreciate you doing the hard work. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Would you like to explain to people what's happening next?
What's happening next is on Thursdays in our usual afternoon slot, we play a game called Categories. It's delightful. We're going to play it now, and maybe you, the midday listener, gets a chance to hear it. I sometimes host it, but I am disgraced. I was disgraced last week.
And yesterday.
And I've been repeatedly disgraced. So Chris Tannehill is going to step in as he has the chance to become the next future disgraced former host of Categories. I think he can do it.
You can play along with us. It's next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is categories. We usually do it on our show from 2 until 6, but the midday show was nice enough to let us hang out here because we have flights to Vegas. Uh-huh. They're going to be at Old Crow in Wrigleyville, thanks to Budweiser, from 2 until 6. So you're like, I miss Layla and Marshall and Groats. You got them starting at 2 o'clock today.
And the way it works is the host, whoever it is, chooses a couple topics that are in the zeitgeist of the sports week. Two sports categories, one pop culture. Texter suggests that one of the categories is NFL players with over 10 children. Let's go.
All right, I only got two.
Thanks for listening. But no, Chris Tannehill, you're in charge. What you got?
Tanny does tremendous job with everything he touches.
Hello. Since 1984, the NFL has handed out Players of the Week award for each conference, and only 13 times have the Bears been represented on the offensive side of the ball, following Caleb winning it this week.
Wow.
Who are the 13 Bears since 1984 who have won Offensive Player of the Week?
Who's going first? That's a wonderful category.
Yeah, first we'll go Spiegs as per his contract, then we'll go Lawrence, then we'll go Alex.
Oh my God, I'm scared. Offensive Player of the Week. Caleb Williams.
That's right. 2025, week 3.
Matt Forte.
Matt Forte, friend of the show. 2010, week 1.
Excellent.
Olin threw a hell of a block on that screen pass. I remember that one.
Six touchdown Trubisky.
Why, Alex?
It's not Fitzmagic today. It's Trubisky magic.
You got it. 2018, week 10.
That's a great job, Alex. How about Justin Fields?
Yes, Justin Fields.
What's the time frame again?
This was since 1984.
13 players.
Walter Payton.
Walter Payton did it three times.
Alex Kuhn. Dun, dun, dun.
Jay Cutler.
That's a good guess.
Jay Cutler did it two times.
That's a very good guess. All right, now it gets tricky. I'm going to go with Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall never did it, Spiegs. Press conference of the week, he won that award.
I think Alshon Jeffrey did it, though.
He did not.
Damn actually, it.
Alex, a lot of names available. A lot of phone
real
calls.
Estate. A lot of good real estate.
Thomas Jones.
No.
Let's go live.
Let's go around again.
Yeah, because there's some obvious names on here that we're missing.
All right.
At least in my opinion.
Okay.
The guy who created the category. Yeah. Who has all the names. Idiot.
They're obvious now that you've written them down. How about Jim McMahon?
Jim McMahon did do it. 1985, week 1.
Okay, I know I know that he won Offensive Player of the Month. But I'm wondering if he won the week. Rex Grossman.
He did. 2006, week 15.
We're back at it. We back. Alex?
Did Devin Hester have a big offensive game?
He did not. He was not one of the award winners.
Okay. Should I keep going?
Yeah, because we're still in competition.
Oh, yeah, we are. That's an excellent point. God. How about... How about Anthony Thomas?
Ooh,
A-Train.
2001, week 14.
Thank you very much. I remember the big ones.
I'll just go quarterbacks.
We got four names left.
Mike Tomczak.
No, Tomczak did not do it.
Jim McMahon? Oh,
We said
McMahon.
That. Come on, Speaks, for the win.
For the win.
For the win.
Another quarterback.
Can I give Speaks a hint for the win to keep it moving? He's on the roster currently.
He's on the roster currently?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Tyson Bagent?
DJ Moore.
Yeah, Lawrence with the win.
All right, you got
DJ Moore, other names?
Oh, that's right.
Of course, we had Josh.
Remember,
I do.
We had Josh McCown.
John, he's calling from Braidwood. He's on the score.
Hey, guys. I think you're putting the wrong emphasis on McCown.
It's
value.
McCown. It's not McCowan.
Tag J.
Yeah.
You still got a legitimate backup in McCown.
But you don't McCown! Have that yet. McCown! It's not McCown!
McCown.
No!
Other names on the list, Neil Anderson back in 88, Jordan Howard back in 2016 when John Fox just gave him the rock every time out. And famously, guys, week 8 of 1990, the Bears offensive line of Jimbo Corbett, Mark Bortz, Jay Hilgenberg, Tom Thayer, and Keith Van Horn
won.
The whole whole line got the award after a 26-6 win over Tampa, 187 rushing yards between Brad Muster and Neil Anderson that day in Tampa. All right.
That was a great category.
That's beautiful that they got the award.
They did, yeah. I'm like thinking 1990 for those guys. Like, was that like the last hurrah for those guys all together?
Pretty much. Yeah. It was the last hurrah.
Yeah, exactly. All together.
By the way, this segment is being brought to you by Old Republic Kitchen and Bar, ice cold beer, legendary food.
All right, 30 men in the NFL have traded in wearing the silver and black for a gold jacket to be Pro Football Hall of Famers in Canton, Ohio. 30 Raiders represented in the Hall of Fame in Canton. Who are they?
That's a good list.
Howie Raiders. Long.
Howie Long, of course, yes.
Alex?
Marcus Allen.
Of course, yeah.
Mike Haynes.
Yes, good job, Lawrence.
Jerry Rice.
Yes, so that does count. So if they wore the uniform and they're in the hall, they're on this list.
Tim Brown.
Absolutely, go Irish.
Cliff Branch.
Yes, good job.
Kenny Stabler.
Absolutely, the snake.
Anyone else going to play? Or?
Is it
Spiggs? Back to Alex.
Right? Alex, yeah. Some guys that played in your era, Alex. You remember these guys?
Yeah, I'm freezing today. I think it's the midday show. I'm out.
The midday show is not in the Hall of Fame, but they're not eligible yet. They will be.
How about... shoot. Lyle Alzado in the hall?
No, he's not.
Damn!
Lawrence, you got a lot of iconic names on the table here for you.
I want to go back.
Marcus Allen.
Said already.
Dang it. Al Davis.
Al Davis is in. So Lawrence wins.
Ted Hendricks. Ted Hendricks, the story.
Yes. Yeah. So other notable names, John Madden.
Oh, yeah.
Randy Moss. Oh, yeah. Gene Upshaw.
Of course.
Charles and Rod Woodson. Executive Ron Wolf is also in there. Ray Guy. Hey, Guy, I'm not your buddy, Guy.
And I'm not your guy, friend.
And George Blanda and Fred Biletnikoff.
Biletnikoff, I was going to get it. Shame on me. Damn it.
All right. So you kind of see where my brain was going here with that segment last hour with Leo DiCaprio. He's got 45 acting credits on his IMDb. Now, the man is just 50 years old. That's a lot of credits.
Wow.
With 30 feature films to his credit. So I need 30 of the feature films, any one of them that Leonardo DiCaprio has been in.
Outstanding.
So we'll start with Alex this time.
Titanic.
Very good. Yeah, Titanic.
I'll go with What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Absolutely.
Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Ooh, we're flying through these. Yep.
I'll go with The Departed.
Absolutely.
I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of the movie. I know the movie.
This is that categories thing where you just freeze up sometimes with stuff
that you know.
This is why I blew it on the Robert Redford category.
The movie where they're... Inception.
Absolutely, Inception.
Nice job.
It's the third round that is dooming me, guys. I'm out.
Okay.
The Aviator.
Absolutely. Lawrence?
I think I'm out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out. Damn it. For the win, Speaks.
For the win. Come on, bring it home.
Yeah,
bring it down and bring it home, Jerome.
I'm thinking of the one where he sleeps inside the bear.
Yeah, I mean, that is...
Is that The Revenant?
The Revenant.
All right. Yeah.
Speaks wins. I just helped him out.
The Revenant.
All right.
So,
I'll just go Basketball Diaries, Blood Diamond, Catch Me If You Can, Don't Look Up, Gangs of New York, Great Gatsby, J. Edgar, Killers of the Flower Moon, Marvin's Room, One Battle After Another. That's the new one that's coming out. I forgot to mention that. That's why I picked it. That's why those guys were on that podcast.
Yeah.
New Paul Thomas Anderson movie coming out on Friday. May have to find a movie theater in Vegas. Revolutionary Road, Romeo and Juliet, This Boy's Life. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood also, if I didn't say that one.
Yeah.
So. Good job. Well done.
That's a great job hosting there by Chris Tannehill. Is that the first one that came to you? And like when you saw Leo and you're like, I want to host this week? Was it that?
No, actually. So I was just telling Alex, this is really inside baseball categories. I was telling Alex. So that popped in my algorithm last night and it got me thinking. I had categories prepped a couple days ago and I decided to switch out 66% of the categories. I changed out two categories on the Metro this morning.
What'd you have?
Well, no, I'm not doing that. Because now I have two fresh categories that I could do at any point next time I want to host
all right,
it.
That was excellent.
But the Caleb news changed it. I had something else for that. So it got me looking at the Bears Offensive Player of the Week. So.
Cue up Ron Coomer. That's how you do it.
Yeah, that was fun.
That
yeah.
sure was.
So I'm just happy to bring the pride and the integrity back to categories.
It's about time. We needed a host that wasn't plagued with scandal.
I thought he was going to do a scandal intentionally, so that would be three, so there would be nobody left to host categories. I thought this was some sort of sabotaging move, did a great job. Integrity restored to categories.
Tanny has now been appointed permanent host of
fun.
Categories.
Exactly what I need during football season. Now, Alex told me during the break off the air, I'm going to be this guy, he said he had a conspiracy theory about me hosting categories.
Yeah,
would you
I
like
just
to
shared
share that? That was the theory?
That was the theory,
okay,
yes.
I gotcha.
Oh, okay. That he was going to intentionally... He was going to throw it?
Yes.
He was going to throw the game?
He was going to throw the game and categories.
Yeah, I thought he was scouting my tendencies as host.
He was going to be the Sonny Liston of categories? Can't have that.
No, that's not a thing that you can have.
No.
When we come back to get you prepared for the Bears game against the Raiders, we are going to talk, let you hear a conversation that we had with a buddy of the show, Alex Brown. Are we doing Alex Brown? Yeah, we are. You're going to enjoy it. That's next here on the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
You guys do Alex Brown yet?
We're going to right now. AB joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And as I said in the open there, you got to make sure that you say that he's fourth all time, because don't say top five. We don't want anyone thinking that he might be number five, because he's number four. Alex Brown now joins us here on the Speed Going Home Show. What's up, AB?
Not much, man. How you doing?
We're good, man. Do any whippets lately? Me neither.
Nah, not lately. Not lately.
No.
I forget y'all be recording all this shit, man.
Yeah, everything. Everything. Even that. Even what you just said. Alex, yeah, it's live radio.
But Alex, it's we good. Are on live radio.
Oh, my bad, y'all.
Dump them.
I thought we had like a 30-second buffer, no?
Yes, yeah. But it has to reset. So every time you say something...
Then we get in trouble.
Yes, so inside voice, sir. Inside voice.
But we love the outside content, you know what I mean? So
you're going back on the boat again?
On a boat.
Yeah, man. Super excited about it, man. We had a blast last time, I mean... You got Joniak, Urlacher, myself, and Rex, and it's not just where we sit somewhere and you can't like come up and talk to us. Or we're in this group of a very small group, honestly, of people, and they're able to ask whatever questions they want, and we take pictures and we sign autographs and we do all this stuff. But you get the for me, I'm pretty much just hey, I am what I am, man. But like you get to see a different side where the guys are really into the fans and giving them what they want and being very raw about it, honestly, as far as our opinion about what's going on in the state of the Bears right now or what happened during the 06 season. Do you really think something could have changed? Whatever the question is, I mean, it's a great time. And I think City Cruisers puts on a really good show.
The last time that you were on with us, you mentioned it. It was in the open today about Rex falling off the planet after he was done playing football in Chicago and then playing in Washington. I wonder, what the reaction was to him. Because I think that now, looking back on his career, I think people are more fair about what it is that he was versus what people expected him to be, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you're drafted in the first round, there's a lot of expectations that come with it. And I think Rex, his first couple of years, I mean, he got hurt. So, and it wasn't really a whole lot you can do. And I think he broke his ankle, broke a thumb. And it's just like, gosh, if he could just stay healthy. Because for me, I watched him in college, and he was absolutely unbelievable. So I was hoping that if we could just get one damn year with him being healthy. And then you see him come in 05 in the Atlanta game, and then he just like, and then he goes out. It's like, oh my gosh, like, are we ever going to get it? And then we get 1 year of him, full year, 16 games, and we go to a Super Bowl. Yeah, that team was primed to win a Super Bowl, honestly. But we weren't able to get that done. But having Rex there definitely made the difference, in my opinion.
Alex Brown with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Well, you saw the quarterback last week. He looked pretty good, Alex. Like, this is the happiest that Bears fans have been in quite some time, regardless of if the Cowboy defense is any good. I mean, it was just nice to watch the Bears offense click like that, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think we have to stay in the same vein when we're talking about winning football games. On one hand, 1 week you'll say, or people will say, it's hard to win in the NFL. Well, hell, it's always hard to win in the NFL. I don't care who you're playing. I mean, just ask Green Bay. I mean, they went up to Cleveland and got their butt. I think they went there. But they played Cleveland, a team that I mean, if you ask all the experts, they had no shot to win. Anybody can beat you on any given Sunday. So the Bears went up to, or the Cowboys came up, and they beat them like they were supposed to. And the way they were supposed to beat them, I mean, what I saw was some of the things, the missed throw for DJ Moore in the Minnesota game when he had Rome Odunze open as he beat his corner, he put the ball on him. The communication between him and DJ Moore, understanding when to stop. Don't move. I'm going to throw the ball to you. So you got to stop, right? Outside of him having to tell him to stop. It's just that that chemistry that you can start to see on display. And then you see a little bit of scheming. The touchdown to Cole Kmet, I think, was more scheming than anything and confused that defense. And, I mean, Caleb looking in the right place where he's supposed to be looking, it was an easy touchdown to Kmet. So I think it was a lot of fun watching it. I just hope that they understand that doing it on the road is a little different. So now that's the challenge, right? The challenge is to be able to go on the road and put together a where you go 11 runs in a row or some stuff like that, where you just put together that drive that kind of says, yeah, this is our game right here, or you enforce your will. And I think people lose that sometimes on what football is. Football is truly just moving a man that doesn't want to be moved. It's that simple. Don't make it difficult. It's moving a grown man that does not want to be moved. Very hard to do.
So we were talking with all of our experts this week, you know, all the guys that played in the game about that 19 play drive, 11 straight runs as a defender, because you've had to deal with some of those in your career. What's that like for a defender when an offense is doing that?
See, you can't ask me questions where you just fire me up, because there's a lot of words I have to use to really describe how I feel in that situation.
I'm going to test that Florida education.
I'm going to hold off on this one. I'm going to hold off. I'm going to say it is very, demoralizing, I'll say. It's very demoralizing. As a defense.
You can say that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's hard to come back off of that, and you realize that, but we can't do nothing with these boys right here, you know? And when it's something like that, and I mean, hell, I felt that when we went to Kansas City, 2004. We went to Kansas City and they had Priest Holmes. And we're all week. Ain't no way he's breaking the record on us. Okay. Yeah. Big Willie Rope said, excuse me, sir. We got reservations in the end zone. And I think he had two, maybe three touchdowns. And it is very demoralized. You can't do anything. You know what they're going to do, but you can't stop it. Fast forward to 2005, when you look at when we went up to Pittsburgh and they just ran the ball down our throat and we couldn't do anything. Like, it was just, it's one of those where You don't like it. It's not a very good feeling.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's 2003. Last week of 2003, and Priest Holmes had a couple of touchdowns in that one, and he only had 50 rushing yards, but he had two touchdowns against you guys.
Yeah, them boys, they had two Hall of Famers. Two Hall of Fame offensive linemen, and I want to say John Tate was actually on that team. My gosh, they were a problem, man. I got my butt whooped that day. I don't have a problem with saying when I got my butt whooped. And then I know y'all saw the whole Miles Garrett thing where the offensive lineman was screaming at Jordan Love, telling him to, hey, watch out, watch out.
Yeah, deal, right? Run, Jordan, run. That's what the offensive lineman told him.
Oh, Miles Garrett beat the brakes off of him. And then people asking me, so I get that question. It's like, Alex, have you ever had an offensive lineman say that? But no. Hell, I played against Walter Jones, Orlando Pace. I ain't play against whoever that bum was that he was beat.
Well, no. AB, wait a minute, though. There was the game against the Giants where that left tackle was probably telling his quarterback to run in that game.
Nah, I got lucky on a couple of those, man. I had Tommy Harris run a guy into me, you know, run Kurt Warner out of the pocket. I mean, I like that I got the four, but I don't know. I still get a little Christmas card from a guy that left tackle.
You know, it felt like the adjustments that Dennis Allen made worked. You know, and maybe it's the absence of CeeDee Lamb that gets me drunk on it that way. But now they got Vegas, and I don't know, man. The Raiders have any mystique left to you, Alex? Because, like, we grew up and the Raiders were a cool thing and, like, a, you know, kind of a legendary thing. Now it just feels like another team.
No, I think they have a pretty good young running back over there, and I think he mentioned something about getting the ball more. I think they're going to really focus on that. Now, you look at what Lawrence just said about how the Bears looked against the Cowboys. Well, you can expect this guy, Ginty, to get 20 carries in the game. If he's able to get 20 carries and he's able to average over 5 yards a carry, then we might be in a world of trouble. Because, yes, Caleb had a really good game, especially that first half. But they got a guy on that other side that the Cowboys gave away their guy. Max Crosby is still there at the Raiders, and he can wreck your game plan. So you got to make sure you got somebody that can block him, maybe two guys. I mean, hell, we saw three guys from Green Bay trying to block Miles Garrett. So whatever you got to do to limit that superstar from wrecking your game plan, sometimes you got to do it.
That's a wrap.
Thanks for letting us hang out here in the middays. That was a lot of fun. Our show is going to be handled by Rahimi Harris and Grody. Stick around for them. They are excellent.
They are excellent. And I love that we have successfully executed our portion of the show swap after the host swap earlier in the week. And I think that's all for the swaps. We're going to be on tomorrow in Vegas after the Cubs game for 3 hours of an extended show on a Bears Friday.
Yes, it's a special extended show after Cubs post is over. We don't get to get out of here in just 1 hour. So we got you covered from Stadium Swim at Circa, and it's going to be excellent. We can't wait to get there, so we're going to head there right now. For Tanny, for Alex, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor tomorrow.
From Vegas, baby.
From Vegas, from Circa, after the Cubs postgame is over. We will talk to you soon. Stay out of trouble. And listen to Rahimi Harris and Grody next here on The Score.
We're going to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.